This is the Venturing Angler Podcast, sponsored by Nautilus Reels. In today's episode, we'll be chatting with Mikey Weir of California Trout. Caltrout does incredible work in the state of California to support fish habitats and protect fisheries. Let's chat with Mikey about the work that Caltrout does. So we're here today with Mikey Weir of Caltrout. Mikey, tell me about some of the projects Caltrout's been working on and some of the things that you guys are dealing with.
Caltrout is we're engaged in work all across the state. I'm blessed that I'm in this really cool position with the organization in that I spend a lot of time out in the field and I get to go out and see a lot of our project sites all across the state and document them and kind of help tell the stories of the work we're doing. And I'm just so lucky that Caltrout is doing work in so many beautiful places across California. You know, very, very, most of our project sites are on some awesome, beautiful rivers. And, you know, as beautiful as they are, they all need a little help in this day and age. It's a tough time to be a salmonid in the state of California. And so most of the work that we're doing right now is to try to help ensure resilient populations of wild fish for the future, for generations to come.
Good. So what are some of the specific projects you've been working on personally lately, or at least through the organization?
My assignment right now is to make a little documentary about the Eel River. And the Eel is a really cool system. It's the third largest watershed in, you know, within California, a 3,600 mile square foot watershed. And it's really cool and unique in that it's mostly still wild. There's two dams on the main stem of the Eel, that Van Arsdale and Pillsbury. And they block about Pillsbury. There's no fish passage at Pillsbury. It blocks about 7% of the historic spawning and rearing habitat. And so beyond that, you know, over 90% of the river channels are still usable to wild salmonids, to andronymous salmonids that come out of the ocean. And so it's a neat, compelling story because the Eel has had a rise and a fall, and now it's kind of coming back to life. It's on the rise again. And so I'm trying to illustrate some of the problems happening there on the Eel that are affecting wild salmonids, and also some of the winds that are really helping wild salmonids to thrive in that system. And so it's pretty cool. I'm not taking it lightly that I've been given this task to help tell this story, because there's just so many user groups that are tied together by that river, and so many people whose lives that river affect. And it's a really neat system, and you know, luckily for, you know, as far as movie making and telling story, the visuals are just insane. You know, the aesthetics up there in the winter time are just amazing. At this turquoise green water, you know, punctuated by these beautiful old growth redwoods, and it's been raining and misty and foggy, and the, you know, moss growing off the trees and the ferns are glistening. It's really cool. So in the Eel, Caltrout's really taken a estuary to headwaters approach to restoration. We feel the Eel is a priority for us because one, it's a salmon and steelhead stronghold, and two, it's an incredible bank of wild genetics. You know, there's lots of different rivers that flow into it, different systems, and each one has its, you know, unique little runs that have adapted to it. And a lot of those genetics are still wild. There hasn't been a hatchery on the Eel for over 20 years. And, you know, despite that, you know, because of habitat improvements and regulations, it's one of the very few rivers that populations of wild steelhead are actually trending up, you know, in a time when almost every other entire in a time when almost every river system on the West Coast, populations of wild steelhead are trending down. Populations of the Eel are actually beginning to rebound a little bit. And so a lot of that is due to good work that's being done there. In 2011, Caltrout started the Eel River Forum, which is basically a multi-agency task force to address issues happening in the Eel. And so we have a lot of different stakeholders, user groups that come to the table at these meetings to talk about what's going on. And it's a great way just to bring people together, to bring the community together and talk about what's happening on the Eel, because so many different people are using the river for so many different purposes. And of course, we're focused on fish, but it helps flush out a lot of other issues that come up too. So for instance, you know, there's ranchers we work with down in the estuary. We work with the Humboldt Redwood and Mendocino Redwood companies, the loggers up there in the area. We have representatives from the Potter Valley Water District and the Pillsbury Dam Project. We've got Department of Fish and Wildlife biologists. We've got people from the Forest Service. We've got people from the tribe that come to these meetings. There's, you know, the marijuana cultivation people that are part of it too. And so bringing home, bringing a unique set of people together to help, you know, tackle some of these tough issues.
I've lived in California off and on for the last 10 years or so, and I constantly hear about how things used to be, and used to was not that long ago. From the Central Coast all the way up to Northern California, apparently there are rich salmon steelhead populations now that I can't even imagine. Should someone like me feel hopeful or pessimistic about what's happening and what's to come?
I mean, there's wins and losses across the board. You know, with the Eel, I think the future of the Eel is hopeful. There's a lot of interest in that river. It's gone through definitely, you know, a decline. And I think that's apparent to everyone. It was one of the most productive salmon and steelhead rivers in California, if not America. They're you know, when the first settlers came there, there was canneries on the mouth of the Eel, and that's most of the historic numbers we have to go by were old cannery numbers. And I mean, there's they suggested that, you know, as much as a million salmonids or more would come in, 800,000 to over a million Chinooks alone, and then, wow, you know, several thousand cohos and, you know, tens of thousands of steelhead coming in behind them. I mean, these were fisheries that supported thousands of people back in the day. And before that, you know, the Wiat people, the Six River tribes, bands of the Wiat people, you know, lived there for years and years and caught eels, Pacific lamprey and salmon out of the Eel River. And you know, it was their source of food that sustained them, you know, throughout the year. And so a goal of restoration would be to, you know, get populations rebounded to the point where you could potentially start keeping fish again to eat. You know, I think that's a good realistic goal for restoration, and something that's definitely possible for the Eel River. California Trout really is taking a estuary to headwaters approach to restoration on the Eel. We have a really cool project happening down on the estuary of the Eel, where we're working with ranchers down in the south side of the estuary. We have partnered with the Wildlands Conservancy that bought a big chunk of property down there. There's a big restoration project happening on the Salt River. And our involvement is that is trying to get fish passage back into this really prolific rearing habitat that salmon really utilize and steelhead utilize too, as well as a myriad of other native fishes. But it's that tidal marshland that's the most productive rearing habitat for fish. And so the way that the Eel River Delta drains, a lot of that ranch land, the fresh water, the rain that falls there is drained into the kind of brackish water of the marsh, of the, you know, the salt part of the estuary. And there's these tidal gates that allow the fresh water to flow through into the estuary. But when the tide surges up high, it doesn't allow that salty tide water to push back up into the fields where the cattle are. And because that kills the types of grass that the cattle like to eat. And so we're working to regain fish passage into some of this, you know, historic rearing habitat. It's a really, really cool project to see that bloom and now starting to expand into some sites over on the north part of the Delta, too.
Cool.
You mentioned your film project. Caltrot's been promoting another film project lately, Eternally Wild.
Well, before we talk about that, let's work our way up the eel a little bit. So, you know, we have our cool project in the estuary, and then working your way up the watershed, we have a couple of really cool passage projects happening on the main stem. One in particular is called Bridge Creek, and it's a restoration site that was completed last year. And Bridge Creek is kind of a small watershed. I think it's about a 12 mile watershed or something like that. But when they built the Pacific Railroad along the Eel, they diverted the mouth of Bridge Creek through a culvert, through a little hill, and buried the old mouth of the creek with fill dirt and sediment, and then built the railroad tracks across that. And so we actually, for the first time in history, were able to talk the railroad company into removing a section of the tracks, and we pulled out over 100 feet of backfilled dirt, several thousand cubic yards of dirt, and restored passage from this creek back into the main stem of the Eel. And so, you know, I think it's great because you think about how much this river is given and how much, you know, habitat has been taken away from salmon and steelhead. You know, 90% of historic spawning and rearing habitat for salmon, for wild salmon and steelhead, have been blocked off in California behind dams and diversions and other obstacles that fish can't get past. And so we're reaching an era where we can start giving a little bit back. And that's kind of how I feel about this project. You know, for the first time in 100 years, this creek flows back into the Eel in a way that wild fish can utilize it for spawning habitat, which is pretty freaking cool. And so now we've moved on to tackling a next big obstacle, which is a place called Woodman Creek, which is a 25 square mile watershed that is just a really beautiful, pristine habitat, just epic historical spawning habitat for salmon and steelhead. And when they built the railroad, they buried in the original mouth of Woodman Creek and blew a chute basically through the bedrock and channeled that creek through under a small bridge abutment, and it's a kind of cascades into a little waterfall into the main stem. And at low flows, fish can't get up that. And so we are going to remove thousands of yards of dirt and restore passage of Woodman Creek back to the main stem of the Eel, which is going to be really, really cool. And so we're working with a myriad of project partners out there, and the landowner, which is a really cool guy. So that's a really neat one. We have a bunch of projects happening in the South Fork of the Eel, a lot of flow-related stuff up there. You know, the marijuana cultivation issues are really affecting the South Fork of the Eel. There's a lot of water diversions that we're, you know, helping try to address some of those issues, as well as a little bit of habitat work on a couple of the tributaries. And then the Potter Valley Dam, is the FERC relicensing is coming up in 2017, and so Caltrout is involved in that. So we're basically advocating for flows for fish and or fish passage above the dam so the fish can utilize that historic habitat. So Pillsbury Dam has cut off, you know, or Pillsbury Lake above Scott Dam has cut off over, you know, a couple hundred miles of usable stream habitat to salmon and steelhead. And so we're advocating for, you know, to try to get fish back in that habitat. And so right now Caltrout is funding a habitat study where a professor at the University of Humboldt State there is, a professor at Humboldt State University is, and a couple grad students are doing a comprehensive habitat analysis up there right now to quantify how much of that habitat is usable to wild salmon, to salmon and steelhead. And so that'll help us determine next steps in the relicensing program as far as, you know, what we need to try to advocate for. So that's pretty cool. So all the way from the very headwaters down to the very estuary, we're, you know, working to ensure resilient populations of wild fish for into the future.
That's great. You mentioned dam removal. I've been following the progress of the Elwha, and it looks like, and something that's unbelievable to me is that this salmon seem to know, after generation and generation and generation, even human generations really, they know exactly where to go. And so there's obviously hope then that with restoring these habitats and these spawning grounds, that the salmon will know right where they're supposed to be.
Yeah, I mean, you give them the habitat, they'll make use of it. salmonids are highly adaptable creatures, and it's, you know, ingrained in their life history to have options and to explore. So say that, you know, a run of particular salmon were used to spawning in a specific tributary to a main stem of a river, like say the North Fork of the Eel River or something like that. And one year there was a giant mudslide that blocked off that entire drainage. That run of fish would get there and realize that habitat wasn't usable and start looking for other options. And so that's what happens. I mean, as soon as you remove these barriers, those fish will get back in there and make use of that habitat. You know, a couple years down the road, that mudslide might wash through and into a point where fish could pass back into there again. You know, that's the historic cycles, how they've been happening for thousands of years. And so you take a dam out and it doesn't take long for fish to get back in there. And it's just like our passage projects on the main stem of the Eel. You restore passage to those creeks and it doesn't take long for fish to move in there and start making it happen.
So tell me about Caltrout's efforts on the Smith and issues there.
Yeah, we just released a movie about the Smith called Eternally Wild. It was done last year by Keith Browneyes and Craig Ballinger, who is our fly fishing ambassador up in the north part of the state there. And really, we were just highlighting the issues happening up there with the Tenpence Flat nickel mining proposal that was slated to go in. I mean, the Smith enjoys one of the highest levels of protection in California. It's most of it's in the wilderness or designated as wild and scenic. And there's one little portion of the North Fork of the Smith that flows out of Oregon, and they proposed to put in a strip mine, you know, to mine nickel, and that obviously would pose a huge threat to water quality. And, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars have been spent in the Smith on habitat restoration for, you know, wild salmon steelhead. It's considered one of our greatest wild salmon steelhead strongholds in California. And so, you know, to potentially jeopardize that work by having a mining operation in there just is insane. And so we put a lot of effort into helping block that. And, the movie helps kind of tell that story and get that story out there, because, you know, the goal is to point out, like, when is protection, you know, enough protection? You go through all this work to get a Wild and Scenic Rivers Act, and then, you know, something comes up where that work can be negated, you know? And with conservation, it's like, someone said it best, is, you know, every victory is temporary and every loss is permanent, you know, when it comes to something like that. And so we've really put a lot of effort into protecting the Smith. And as far as the movies go, it's just a great way to help tell these stories. Telling these stories is an important part of conservation these days. It helps us engage our stakeholders. It helps us, you know, for reporting for grants, you know, updating people on the work that we're doing. And it brings public awareness to the issues that we're trying to highlight. And so we found that films and conservation has become just such a great outreach tool. And so a lot of my work with Caltrout is based on helping tell these stories. You know, I'm the outreach coordinator, so I get to travel around the regions, check out our killer projects, shoot some photos, shoot some video, and get back and help tell these stories. And it's a really cool position to be in.
So when it comes to this outreach work and reaching your audience, what do you then hope the response from people is? And in other words, what can especially even the fly fishing community do to respond to the needs out there and your efforts too?
Well, we hope that that these movies help bring these issues to light, you know, to the people that are out there using these resources, which is fly fishermen. You know, we're the ones that are out on the water that are observing the changes happening. And, you know, part of our goal is to get people to help support our organization, the work we're doing. You know, if you don't have time to be out there doing that kind of work yourself to protect, you know, your local fisheries, it's good to have someone like Caltrout that's out there, you know, fighting these good fights, that's dedicated to a bright future for wild, you know, salmonids in California. But we also want people to see these films and get inspired, you know, to do some work on their local creeks, to get involved in volunteering for a restoration project at some point to, you know, spend a few bucks on helping support a project that they, you know, feel is valuable. And that's what it's about, you know. That's what fly fishing is about, getting out there, connecting with that resource. And then, you know, we hope that as a user group, people begin to feel obligated to kind of help give back a little bit. Yeah, Caltrout has just been a really fun organization to work with. You know, it's a real dynamic organization in that, you know, because we are not a government agency, we've got a lot of a leeway in the projects that we can take on and maneuverability in the things that we can do. And we've got a lot of really cool projects happening across the state right now. In the last couple years, I've been able to travel up and down California and see so many cool project sites. And we have a big restoration project happening on Hat Creek right now, doing a bunch of work in the historic Carbon Flats area. Hat Creek was one of the first projects for California trout. It's really one of the reasons that California trout was founded, was to do work on Hat Creek, and it was one of the first wild trout fisheries enacted in California, and Caltrout helped push that whole concept of catch and release, which was like a radical concept back in the 70s, you know. And so that was cool, you know, getting to visit that site a couple times over the summer and seeing some of the changes happening out there for the better has been awesome. I spent a lot of time this last summer traveling around the Sierras looking at our Meadows and Headwaters Initiative programs that we got going on up there. Last year, Mark Drew secured the Inyo Mono Water Agreement, which basically is an agreement to help keep water in Mono Lake and in Rush and Levining Creeks while meeting the needs for the downstream users, you know, specifically the LA Water District. Which is really awesome, kind of groundbreaking settlement there. We have a bunch of really cool Headwaters and Meadows initiative stuff going on. Mark is running this awesome carbon sequestration monitoring program throughout the Eastern Sierras. They've got together a really cool coalition of user groups, and we're doing this really groundbreaking, cutting edge science and how to monitor carbon sequestration. So we're taking three different meadows, a degraded meadow, a meadow that is thought to be in good condition, and a degraded meadow that we're gonna do some restoration work on. And so you set up these sampling sites, you take samples of how much carbon is being sequestered in each meadow, and then you can use that data down the road to quantify a value, putting a value on restoration work. So saying this restored meadow works this much better in sequestering carbon, and then you can, you know, potentially, you know, sell those on as like carbon trading credits and stuff like that, and give a value to restoration, which is, it's really kind of groundbreaking science. It's a little in its beginning stages, but it's cool to see that kind of developing. We have a really cool project happening in the Yolo Bypass. I was out there last week at Nag's Ranch. We just got a bunch of baby salmon to put out there. We're in our fifth year out there of demonstrating that salmon grow 3 to 6 times faster in the floodplain. You spread that water out and slow it down, and you know the sun can generate a lot more energy in the water. So you gotta think of the, you know, the waterway is like a solar panel. And when you spread that water out and it becomes more shallow, the sun can penetrate more of the bottom, which grows more algae, which grows more, you know, bug life, which makes a more prolific feeding habitat for fish. And so historically, salmon and steelhead had use of hundreds, you know, thousands of miles of wetland in the Central Valley and Delta, and almost all of that's been cut off now with levees. And so we're trying to demonstrate that reconnecting some of this historic floodplain habitat can be good for fish, can be good for the farmers, can be good for the birds, and you know, help with flood control and good for, you know, for people, for downstream users as well. And so it's a pretty cool kind of win-win-win project happening out there. Fun to be involved in that. We've got some cool stuff happening in Southern California. We just released a genetic sampling study on steelhead that are, you know, in these small waterways in San Gabriel Mountains. Very cool stuff. A lot of passage issues we're working on down there, getting steelhead back up to some of their historic spawning and rearing habitat. And the future's looking bright. It seems to be a big upswing in the organization right now. There's a lot of momentum. There's a lot of interest in fish. There's a lot of people excited about our work, and we're stoked to keep doing the good work and keep getting these awesome stories out there and keep that momentum going, man. Keep some fish in our rivers. It's a tough time to be a fish in California right now, and so we're trying to help affect and influence policy that's going to help create a future waterscape that's better for fish, better for people, and healthy functioning ecosystem. So we're excited.
Well, I love what you guys do. Mikey, thanks for your efforts. For more and to check out more of Caltrout's efforts, go to caltrout.org, and thanks very much.
Cool. Thank you.